Welcome to Life Words Day by Day. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way of the gate. And when any man had a dispute to come before the king for judgment, Absalom would call out to him and say, "From what city are you?" And when he would say, "Your servant is of such and such a tribe in Israel," Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but there's no man designated by the king to hear you." And then Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were a judge in the land, and then every man with a dispute or cause might come to me, and I would give him justice." And whenever a man came near to pay homage to him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. Thus Absalom did to all of Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It seems that every man that Absalom met in 2 Samuel chapter 15 was always innocent and always in the right. Funny how that was the case. If a person was traveling through for other reasons and they recognized Absalom as the king's son and they wanted to honor Absalom in some way, Absalom would first grab the man's hand with a hearty handshake, pull him in close and kiss him. And today this might come in the form of a big bear hug and a slap on the back and say, "No need for the formalities, my man. I'm just good old Abs." So you see what is happening here, don't you? These are political moves. This is the equivalent of a presidential candidate taking off his coat, loosening up his tie, rolling up his sleeves so that he appears to be in touch and relatable with the working man. This is the equivalent of that great line by President Bill Clinton, "I feel your pain." And as such, the text says that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. You know, we can read that phrase in such a way that we misunderstand it. When we hear that phrase, we may associate with it some type of affection or endearment, such as when a guy sweeps a girl off of her feet. We think of it as a type of metaphor. But the phrase is meant to be understood a little bit more literally. The text means that Absalom duped the men of Israel. And when it says that he stole their hearts, it means that he was a thief and he deceived them. And we see that not only did Absalom steal away the hearts of the men of Israel, but he also stole away one of David's most trusted advisors, Ahithophel. The passage ends with this, "And the conspiracy grew strong, and the people of Absalom kept increasing." So what are we to make of all this? Well, in one sense, we saw this coming, right? God did say, "I will raise up evil against you out of your own house." This is the fallout upon David for his sin against Bathsheba and Uriah that God promised, "I will raise up evil." So in one sense, it's the discipline of God against David. But in another sense, this is evil. Absalom is rebelling against God's king and kingdom. Absalom's attitude and his acts are wicked. He has no regard for God at all, or God's anointed king, or God's people. And this can be a tough knot to untangle, can it? It can be a mystery to us. Did God cause Absalom to be this way in order to fulfill his word against David? How could you hold Absalom ultimately responsible in this situation if God did say, "I will raise up evil against you, David"? Absalom was acting in accordance with his nature. And this is what's important for us to understand. His nature was sinful, and his sinful nature pulled him along the path of rebellion. There was not a moment in Absalom's life whenever Absalom said, "God is forcing me to do something I don't want to do." No, these were the free choices of a man with a sinful nature. And it happened accordingly to God's ordaining wisdom and power. But that brings up another question, doesn't it? Who can possibly be saved if man's nature is so broken and bent towards sinfulness? If the desires are always twisted and sick, how could we ever have righteous desires in receiving Christ and following Christ Jesus? Well, we can't. And this is what makes the gospel message so incredible. God does for us and to us and in us what we cannot do for ourselves. And he does it in a way that it does no violence to our own wills. He opens our eyes to see the reality and awfulness of our sin. He opens our hearts to see the sacrifice of Jesus on the believer's behalf as a gift of grace. He gives us a new heart so that we can respond in repentance and faith to his call to be saved and redeemed by Jesus. And this is the glory of the gospel of grace. Whenever we read Old Testament text, like we are reading in 2 Samuel, they can sometimes be tough knots to figure out. But ultimately, what we see is God's sovereign work in the lives of his people. As you pray today, please remember Milan Bulak, our national changemaker in the Czech Republic. And also remember the Ngoni Lifeword broadcast that's heard throughout Tanzania.